Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Why Does Everybody Hate Me? Living and Loving with Rejection Sensitivity Dysphoria by Alex Partridge is a non-fiction self-help and personal advocacy book centered on rejection sensitivity dysphoria, often discussed in relation to ADHD. Drawing on Partridge's own experience, the book examines how perceived rejection, criticism, and social ambiguity can trigger intense emotional pain, shame, overthinking, and people-pleasing behavior. It combines memoir-style reflection with accessible explanation and practical guidance, making it both personal and instructional. Rather than treating sensitivity as a character flaw, the book frames it as a pattern of emotional dysregulation that can be understood, managed, and spoken about more openly. Its purpose is to help readers recognize RSD in themselves, reduce self-blame, and develop healthier boundaries and self-trust. It is especially relevant for people with ADHD and for anyone who wants a clearer account of how rejection sensitivity affects daily life, relationships, and self-esteem. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, rejection sensitivity dysphoria as the book's central explanatory framework. The book is built around the idea that some people experience rejection not as a minor discomfort, but as an intense emotional event. Partridge uses rejection sensitivity dysphoria as the main lens for explaining why a delayed reply, a brief comment, or a routine conversation can feel devastating. This matters because the book does not present these reactions as overreaction in the ordinary sense. It treats them as a recognizable pattern with emotional and neurological roots, especially in ADHD contexts. By naming the experience, the book gives readers a way to separate their reactions from moral judgment. That distinction is important. If the problem is framed as weakness, the reader is left with shame. If it is framed as RSD, the reader can begin to observe triggers more clearly. The book's value lies in translating a confusing inner state into a concept that can be discussed, analyzed, and managed rather than hidden. How childhood criticism and accumulated negative messages shape adult self-perception, a major thread in the book is the idea that repeated criticism, misunderstanding, and negative feedback build up over time and shape the way a person interprets social situations later in life. Partridge emphasizes the long-term effect of receiving constant negative messages about behavior, identity, or attention differences during childhood. This matters because RSD is not shown as an isolated reaction to a single event. Instead, the book suggests that the nervous system learns to anticipate rejection before it happens. That helps explain why adult responses can feel immediate and overwhelming, even when the present situation is ambiguous or mild. The practical implication is that healing is not only about managing current triggers, but also about recognizing the historical burden underneath them. The book encourages readers to see their self-doubt as something learned through experience, which makes change possible without denying the seriousness of what they have lived through. Thirdly, people-pleasing, withdrawal, and the social cost of trying to avoid rejection. The book pays close attention to the behaviors that often follow RSD, especially people-pleasing, emotional withdrawal, and avoidance of situations that might invite criticism. These responses are presented as protective strategies rather than simple habits. A person may over-explain, monitor tone, retreat from relationships, or stop engaging altogether because the possibility of rejection feels unbearable. The book is effective here because it shows that the attempt to prevent pain can create its own damage. Friendships become strained, communication becomes cautious, and self-expression becomes limited. This makes RSD not only an internal emotional issue, but also a relational one. Partridge's treatment of this theme is useful because it highlights a common cycle: fear of rejection leads to protective behavior. Protective behavior creates distance, and that distance can then appear to confirm the original fear. Understanding that loop gives readers a concrete way to identify why certain relationships or work situations become exhausting. Fourthly, boundaries and self-worth as practical responses rather than abstract advice. Instead of remaining at the level of diagnosis or emotional description, the book moves toward practical coping strategies. Among the most important are rebuilding boundaries, strengthening confidence, and learning to trust one's own value without waiting for external approval. These ideas are significant because they address the behavior patterns that RSD often produces. Stronger boundaries can reduce overexposure to draining interactions, while healthier self-worth can interrupt the tendency to treat every social cue as evidence of personal failure. The book's approach is grounded in lived experience and expert-informed guidance, so the advice is not presented as generic positivity. It is framed as a way to protect emotional energy and create more stable relationships. This makes the book useful for readers who need more than reassurance. It offers a basic model for responding differently: identify the trigger, question the automatic interpretation, and choose a response that does not surrender control to fear of disapproval. Lastly, Why the book matters as advocacy for ADHD emotional experience. One of the book's strongest contributions is its role in making an often misunderstood ADHD-related experience more visible. RSD is frequently absent from mainstream conversations about ADHD, which tend to focus more on attention, organization, and impulsivity than on emotional pain. By centering this subject, Partridge helps expand the understanding of ADHD beyond productivity problems. That is important because many readers may have been told they are simply too sensitive, difficult, or insecure, when the deeper issue is an intense and poorly recognized emotional response pattern. The book, therefore, works as both explanation and advocacy. It validates readers while also challenging the stigma that surrounds emotional dysregulation and neurodivergence. In practical terms, this broadens its audience beyond people already familiar with ADHD literature. Family members, partners, educators, and clinicians can use it to better understand why ordinary interactions may carry unusually high emotional stakes for someone with RSD. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who suspect that rejection, criticism, or social uncertainty affects them more intensely than it seems to affect other people. It will also be valuable for people with ADHD, their partners, family members, and professionals who want a clearer account of the emotional side of neurodivergence. Its main benefit is conceptual, as well as practical. It names a pattern that many readers have experienced but struggled to explain, then connects that pattern to everyday consequences such as people-pleasing, withdrawal, shame, and low self-confidence. The book stands out in its category because it is not only a general ADHD self-help title and not merely a memoir. It specifically focuses on rejection sensitivity dysphoria, a subject that is still underrepresented in mainstream mental health publishing. That focus gives it a distinctive role. Readers looking for either validation or a structured way to think about emotional triggers will find it especially useful. Its combination of personal testimony, accessible explanation, and concrete coping ideas makes it more specific than broad ADHD books and more practical than purely reflective accounts. If you would like to support Alex Partridge, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.